You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to a special edition of Irish Illustrated Insider. I'm Tim Priester with Tim O'Malley from Irish Illustrated. And a couple of days ago, our guest went by the title of Special Assistant to the President for Athletics at Notre Dame. And as of Monday, he is now the Vice President and Director of Athletics at Notre Dame. Welcome, class of 93 Notre Dame graduate, Pete Bavacqua. Pete, thanks for joining us.
Tim, it's great to be here. And I kind of like that special assistant title. It was kind of mysterious, you know?
Yeah, that was pretty good. But Vice President, Director of Athletics, I think fits you real well also. I do want to, before we get into you and your background and all that, we did listen into the Wake Up the Echoes segment and thought that was really, really good. And I know that you talked about Jack Swarbrick, and of course we were around Jack Swarbrick for the last 16 years, and you worked with him for about 5 years, right? While you were at NBC and negotiating contracts, etc. And one of the things that you said about him in the Wake Up the Echoes was how progressive he is. I don't know. The reason I'm bringing this up, Pete, is because I don't know that Notre Dame fans have a full appreciation for just what a tremendous job that Jack Swarbrick did in his 16 years. And you talked about him being progressive. Maybe you can lend your perspective, your insight on Jack Swarbrick.
Yeah, absolutely, Tim. And as I've said, and I've said to you when we've been together, just credit to Notre Dame for being able to set this up in a way with this transition. As I've said in the past, that doesn't happen at many places. So being able to come in here in July and see Jack in action and get to meet, obviously, staff and the coaches and the assistant coaches and people around the university and build relationships has just been so invaluable for me. And I think is just the perfect way to do something like this. And kind of what Notre Dame's going through now with the movement from Father John to Father Bob. So it's great to see it happening at the highest level of the university. But, Jack, when I said progressive, I mean, think about what he's done, whether it was the Crossroads campaign and the new stadium and the thought behind that, joining the ACC for our Olympic sports, the creation of Fighting Irish Media, which I think is one of his great achievements, and kind of building and developing this in-house media entity to help with Notre Dame athletics and the Notre Dame brand is something that will continue to pay dividends for years and years to come. All of those elements, all of those, he always seemed to be looking toward the future while obviously doing everything he could to make sure that Notre Dame was healthy in the present. And I used the example of the exclusive game on Peacock. And when I was, chairman of NBC Sports and flew out one summer to talk about this novel idea of taking one of our home football games and putting it exclusively on a streaming platform, the nascent Peacock at the time, he said yes immediately, because he understood where the world was headed. He understood that it made sense for Notre Dame to be a leader in that space, that he had a trusted partner in NBC. So I've always been impressed. Before I came back to campus here in July, with Jack, always seemed to be looking down the road and trying to figure out where things were headed. to make sure that that Notre Dame wasn't caught flat-footed. And that's something I've always admired about him.
The question that we've been asked more than any, and you've been around for quite a few months, so it's been a question that's been asked for a while. Everybody wants to know how you are going to be different from Jack Swarbrick. And I think there's a perception that, you know, new AD, it's going to be all these new ideas and a new approach. I don't know that Notre Dame necessarily works that way, especially since you've been around since last July. But what are your strengths and weaknesses as you perceive them? And what changes or how will you be different than Jack Swarbrick?
Well, I think everybody, you know, I think Jack and I have a lot of similarities. You talk about our past, both born in Westchester County, both Notre Dame alums, both went to law school. Jack practiced law a lot longer than I did. I went into sports a lot earlier on in my career. So we have a lot of similarities. And yeah, I assume we have a lot of differences too. Maybe it's easier for other people to kind of talk about the differences. I think we're both, you know, certainly committed to Notre Dame, love Notre Dame, love the fact that we can serve our student athletes on a daily basis. So I don't come into this role thinking about all of the many things we need to change. Because, hey, the college landscape is under such a period of maybe probably unprecedented change. So, you know, I was asked a similar question this morning in a town hall that we did here. And to me, it's not change that's the word. It's really adapt. And I won't do things exactly the same way Jack did them, because quite frankly, if he was in the role now and in the future, he wouldn't do them the exact same way he's done them in the past, because it just wouldn't make sense anymore, because we have to kind of continue to look forward, continue to be progressive, continue to evaluate how the college sports landscape is changing and make sure that we can retain all that's different and special and unique about Notre Dame, but compete at the highest level. And whether that's the NIL space, transfer portal, what the lawsuits that are out there that could change the college landscape, you know, it's always going to be that balance of making sure that we are as progressive, as aggressive as any university in the country, but never lose sight of what makes Notre Dame, Notre Dame. Never lose sight that the most important thing is to retain that student athlete experience and to make sure that, you know, one of the things I loved about Notre Dame when I was here is that it's not a segregated campus. There's not athletes on one side of the campus and students on the other. And you went here, you understand it, you've seen it and lived it, but it's not. I know you graduated in 1982. I graduated in 1993, Tim in 95. That world has changed. So when we think about maintaining the student athlete experience, which is so critical to the Notre Dame university and ecosystem here and the presence and what the identity of Notre Dame, we can't judge that against an ideal from the past. We have to judge it from the present. And what I feel so confident about is that here, sitting here in March of 2024 at a major university with major sports programs, the level of integration among the student athletes and the university is as good here or better than anywhere else in the country. And I think my main obligation, one of my main obligations, is to maintain that. And I think Jack would say the same thing. But maintaining that in 2026 will be different than it is in 2024, just as it was different in 1993. So you have to stay current. You have to have that North Star of what makes Notre Dame special. Obviously, our Catholic tradition, our Catholic heritage. And as I say to our current student athletes and recruits, regardless of the sport, you have to come in here with eyes wide open. You know, Marcus Freeman says it well. You got to choose hard. And when you come to Notre Dame, you choose hard because you're going to be an athlete and you're going to have all the opportunities and everything at your disposal to be the most successful athlete on the most successful teams possible. But you're going to be a student and you can't ever forget that. And you have to understand that you're signing up for both sides of the coin when you come to Notre Dame. And that's, you know, it's one of the many things that I think you would all agree that makes Notre Dame so special and so unique. And I think is more valuable, more under assault than ever, but also more valuable than ever.
Before I throw it over to Tim O'Malley, Pete, you had obviously tremendous success at NBC. You led all aspects of the business operations of NBC Sports, the strategies, et cetera. When did you decide you wanted to be the athletic director at Notre Dame? What was your role in that idea, the spawning of that idea, and Jack Swarbrick's role in that?
Yeah, I mean, Jack and I would joke about it. I remember I came out to Notre Dame for a trip with our then NBC CEO, Steve Burke, because Father John had invited Steve Burke to talk to his leadership team. And Jack and I sat on a bench on campus, much like his bench warmers, right? His great show that he did. And we talked about everything. We talked about Notre Dame. We talked about NBC. We talked about our career journeys. And Jack said, and I took him seriously, and in retrospect, I think he was serious, you know, hey, you should do this after I leave. And I'm not going to sit here and say the thought never crossed my mind, because it actually always crossed my mind. And, you know, if you had said, hey, could you believe back when you were, you know, a senior at Notre Dame that you could one day might be the athletic director here? You know, I think the kind of the cliche answer to that is no, I could never have imagined that. I could imagine that. I mean, because I knew I loved Notre Dame. I knew somehow I was going to get involved in sports at a professional level, certainly not playing at a professional level, unfortunately, but, you know, for a profession. And so, you know, I think Jack Swarbrick is one of the people who planted the seed. And then I knew Father John, obviously, from who he was, being the Notre Dame president, and got to spend some time with him, but really got to know Father John over the course of my years at Notre Dame. And those conversations would, every once in a while, we would just kind of touch base and talk about it a little bit. And then as it got closer to the time where Jack was thinking of stepping down, the level of those conversations with Father John and Jack Brennan really increased. And, you know, I'd like to say I went home and took out a legal pad and kind of did the column of the positives and a column of the negatives, but I didn't. I mean, I knew in my heart immediately that this was something I wanted to do, something that I had to do. You know, my wife, Tiffany, understood that, my kids. And, you know, and I've said, Tim, and you probably maybe have heard me say it, it's not as though I was thinking I wanted to be an athletic director anywhere else. That is not the case. I mean, this was the one athletic director role that I would ever have been interested in. And the ability to come into a place I love that is so well positioned for future success, but in this moment of collegiate sports chaos and upheaval, I love the chaos. I love that element of it, because I know we have the traditions and the values that will allow us to navigate through that.
Tim, jump in. Pete, you mentioned embracing how the student athlete ideal can change in 2026, and obviously into your tenure as you go along. I mean, I think it's changed since 2022, and definitely since 2020, how NIL has been embraced by Notre Dame in a Notre Dame way. Is fund something that can be enhanced? Are there other entities that could also help Notre Dame in the NIL landscape, especially as some more true NIL opportunities seem to be coming down the pipe, the way Jack Swarbrick and Notre Dame were always looking to embrace NIL?
Yeah, well, I think, Tim, NIL, you know, Notre Dame was an early proponent of the concept of NIL. And then clearly, you know, it's no secret, it's become a little bit of the Wild West. And, you know, we and others have voiced concerns, and whether that's to the NCAA or Congress, but the concept of it makes all the sense in the world. And the job that Fund has done has been just absolutely amazing. The leadership there, the passion. And in this current environment, without something like Fund as your collective, without being strategic and aggressive in the NIL space, you can't compete. And we're going to compete. And like I've said, we're going to be aggressive. And you said it the right way. We're going to do it. We're going to do it in the Notre Dame way. So one of the things we're currently working on now as a team is not so much is there some way to augment what Fund does, some parallel organization. It's more, how can we support Fund? how can we make sure that the Notre Dame community understands the link between fund and the university and the job and the work they're doing for the benefit of our student athletes. And we believe firmly that more and more of the operations of NIL are going to move in-house in some form of decree from the NCAA or Congress. I think that will happen sooner than later. And we're going through the process now of making sure that, hey, we're ready to stand that up and move as soon as that happens, as soon as that switch is flipped. Because you can't like take a deep breath and figure it out once the switch is flipped, because you'll sit on your hands for 6 months while you're figuring it out. So you got to be ready to roll the minute that happens. So we're spending a lot of time on what that would look like in-house here for Notre Dame if it happens. If it doesn't happen, it's a work product we won't have to refer to, but I'm pretty certain it's going to happen. So that's really where our efforts are. And then I think it will certainly at least initially stop short of it being permissible for universities to directly compensate student athletes. But, you know, that might happen too at some point in the future, maybe not next year, maybe not the year after, maybe never, but it might. And, you know, we have to be ready for that too. So again, it's kind of staying ahead of the curve, making sure we're doing the work now, so when changes come, and they will come in this space, no doubt about it, we'll be ready to move.
You know, on a related note, a question I've kind of held for the last year and a half is Notre Dame's Olympic sports and basketball, and especially women's basketball team, have been fantastic. Is NIL differentiated among sports? They're all, of course, student athletes at your university. Notre Dame is it's not a football factory, but it's an all-time football school. And I think when people thought of NIL enhancements and benefits in 2022 and maybe 2023, it was the Notre Dame football team. Can they compete? There's other sports that may need to compete in that landscape. What is the challenge there for so many student athletes on campus?
Well, it's a timely question, right? And it's something we talk about literally every day, including a meeting I just came out of. Certainly college football is in its own stratosphere, and that's no secret to anybody. You can just look at the media value of college football. When you think about the media deals that conferences have done, when you think about our media deal with NBC, when you think about the college football playoffs and the new deal with ESPN. So certainly college football is at the head of the class when it comes to NIL. And then I would say, and as it relates to Notre Dame, and I'm sure other universities as well, it's men's and women's basketball, and then revenue sports such as, you know, hockey and women's volleyball. But every conversation I've had with our head coaches in every sport to different degrees, it's present, and they're hearing more and more about it from colleagues at other schools, from recruits, young men and women that are contemplating coming to Notre Dame. It's not just football and men's and women's basketball anymore. It is all of the Olympic sports. Again, very much so in varying degrees. And I think it also depends on the school. I mean, not every school is committed to being a football powerhouse. Different schools have different sports that move the needle. For us, you know, we want to be ultra extremely competitive in every sport. Our goal is to strive to win national championships and conference championships where applicable in every sport. But, you know, football is football at Notre Dame. It's part of the DNA of Notre Dame. And, you know, I think our NIL process reflects that. But in my conversations with Micah and Niel and Salima and Jeff Jackson, you know, we're talking about what the fund is doing, what we can do to support fund, what their needs are in the NIL space now in the future. And to a lesser degree, I'm having those conversations with all of our other head coaches.
You said you said, I love the chaos. And I heard that in the episode of Wake Up the Echoes with Tony Simeone. And I thought that was a great line. You probably, when you were thinking about as a graduate of Notre Dame about becoming the athletic director, you probably didn't anticipate the kind of chaos that you are inheriting. But and I guess one of those, and maybe there's a little bit more clarity, or you're in a position to give more clarity on the Goog and the expansion or the remake of the Goog. Can you speak to as to where you are in that process and maybe provide a timetable as to when, if not completion, the start of the project?
Yeah, nothing is definitive yet, Tim, and you and Tim will be among the first to know as you guys are so close to the program and to everything we do here at Notre Dame. But you know, world class, top of the class facilities are a priority for Notre Dame when it comes to our sports. And you think about the indoor practice facility, you think about Crossroads and the stadium, you think about the Rolfs facility for men's and women's basketball, Compton for hockey. And certainly a priority for us is a state-of-the-art football facility. And we're in that process of determining what that is and what it looks like. It's certainly a priority of the athletic department. And, you know, when you think about what a new football facility could look like and what that would mean for the Goog, you think about sports science. We want to be leaders in sports science. When you think of some of the new people we've brought on board, like a John Waggle, like a Lauren Landau, who joined us a few months ago, we really want to be ahead, you know, and one of the strongest in the country in terms of what we do with sports science. So not at the point where I can talk about definitive timelines or dates, but it's a priority. I feel really good and confident about the fact that that we'll get there and hopefully get there in short order.
There's a term that it's not new anymore. I can remember years ago talking about facilities and the term being an arms race as it pertained to facilities. So you take that arms race plus NIL, how do you get it all done?
Yeah, it's you know, you have to, again, priorities, and you know, you can't do everything. You know, you have to prioritize, you have to be strategic, as I said. And you know, for us, sure. I mean, our sports facilities are incredibly important. Being competitive in the NIL space is incredibly important. But, you know, we also have the power of Notre Dame. And, you know, for the student athlete, the young man or woman who wants to come to a new home, a university where you're equally interested in both sides of that, in being the best athlete you can be and being the best student you can be, you know, that's our main selling point. And sure, facilities are great. Facilities are important. And we have to have some of the best facilities in the country. But our real selling point, and what I always enjoy talking the most about to the type of student athlete that will thrive at Notre Dame, is everything else you get here. The education you get, you know, the heritage of Notre Dame, the Catholic faith, the faith element, regardless of whether your Catholic is ever present here. And, you know, whether you're going to be a star at Notre Dame in whatever sport you play and take that professionally for a month or 15, 20 years, it all ends at some point. And when we say, you know, Notre Dame isn't a four-year decision, it's a forever decision, we mean it. And that Notre Dame degree, and, you know, I think just a real powerful current example of that, Tim, and I've had conversations with both of them in the last 2 weeks, Drew Pine and Tyler Buchner. You and here are two young men who decided to come back to Notre Dame because they understand and know the importance of that degree. And I had a wonderful conversation in my office with Drew a few weeks ago. And I've known Drew and his family for years, you know, coming from New Canaan. And I said it was just so heartwarming to see him back at Notre Dame getting that degree. Because I said, you know, Drew, that you'll be a Notre Dame football player. You'll be a Notre Dame alumnus for the rest of your life. You know, it's not temporary. It's everlasting. And I went out and spent some time with Kevin Corrigan. He asked me to talk to the men's lacrosse team the other night. So I went over and watched them practice. And then they came over to the sideline and I talked to them after Kevin was speaking to them. And, you know, just had a nice one-on-one conversation with Tyler Buchner. And to hear him say how delighted he is to be back here on campus, to be on the lacrosse team. He goes, just the appreciation I have for the professors and the academics. And, you know, he's looking forward to getting his degree and then hopefully getting a master's degree here next year. I mean, those are great Notre Dame stories. Kids that can take it to the extreme. Jerome Bettis, right? NFL Hall of Famer, the bus, you know, the legend. Came back and got his degree. You know, it was a promise to his mom, a promise to himself. Yeah, it is an arms race. I mean, I won't downplay that. You're 100% right. You know, you got to have the best facilities. You got to be able to show all that. But, you know, walk around campus and, boy, the power of the place really, really impacts people, as you know.
Pete, I think you illustrated the positives for the transfer rules and kind of the new transfer rules where not many go back and forth, but that would have been a very strange thing in the past for that. You could name one football player in 40 years that left and came back, and it wasn't quite as positive a story as Drew Pine and Tyler Buchner, but there's the other side of it. Is it something that has to be reeled in? Rampant transferring, and I don't mean once, because any coach could leave his program one time as well, and any multiple coordinators could leave. The reason people go, it does not everyone goes to school because of the university. Some of them do go for a coach or certain coaches, but is it something you feel they need to reel in a little, in especially in college football and college basketball, where there's three-time transfers? When you look at a basketball roster, there's guys that have played for three rosters when they come to play at Notre Dame.
Yeah, my answer to that and my opinion on that is definitely, I think it needs to be reeled in. It has to be curtailed in some form. It has to be fair to the student athletes. But the notion of a player playing on four or more teams over the course of a college journey, to me, is not something that's good for college sports. Most importantly, I don't think it's something that's good for that particular individual. There has to be some order restored. You're right. There has to be a freedom to it, of course, but within reason. Yeah, because, again, if you truly believe that you come to a university to become, a graduate of that university, to have an education that's going to serve you well, and, of course, we firmly believe that here. You know, transferring schools every year and hopping around the country is not the answer. I think it's a detriment to that student athlete. I think it's a detriment and a hindrance to developing a real strong, lasting team culture. And my hope is that over the course of the next few years, we see some order restored to that space, Tim. Yeah, it's funny. When I walk around campus, we have a bench near the Joy Center that both of you've seen, and it's got Moose Krause sitting on it with his hat. And I walk by it every day, and I take kind of these late night runs around campus and run by it. And I think, boy, Moose, he was never thinking about transfer portals or NIL. The world has changed.
It definitely has. He was
it's a no smoking campus, and he has a cigar in his hand too. So.
Moose was a devoted cigar smoker like I was, and we shared a few during the day. Occasionally I'll sit on that bench just to visit with him a little bit. But a couple of weeks ago, I guess for lack of a better term, we had an exit interview with Jack Swarbrick.
Yep.
As our podcast. And Tim asked him about, I think it was you, Tim, or was it me, about Marcus Freeman's contract and an extension. I assume you take over that role now. Can you talk about, he's 2 years in, about to start his third. He signed a 6-year contract. Where are you with that? Because I know coaches, head coaches like to have, 4 or 5 years because they can sell that to the next recruit that comes in.
Yeah, well, the good news is Marcus still has multiple years on his contract, right? So, he is in the early stages of his contract. And I think he and our football program is so well positioned for future success. He's coming into the third year of being a head coach at Notre Dame. And, quite frankly, nothing can prepare you for that. I actually, it was funny. I had lunch earlier today with Marcus and Father Bob Dowd, our incoming president. And we had it over in Marcus's office, and it was just a casual conversation. But when we got there and we were kind of standing up and about to sit down for lunch, I kind of joked. I said, Marcus, did you ever think that 3 years into this, you would be the veteran? Like you have an AD who started yesterday.
That's
you have a president who hasn't started yet. And you're kind of the wily veteran here entering your third year. And it puts some perspective on all of that, right? But I think the good news, and I think the contract will kind of take care of itself, Tim, is that we're positioned for success. You think about the type of person he is, his understanding of what's important to Notre Dame, his competitive nature, the staff that he's surrounded with, the talent level that we have here, being able to redo the NBC agreement so we have that continuity. And then where we're going to go with the CFP, moving from four teams to 12 teams for the next 2 years, and then to 12 teams or 14 teams for the next 6 years beyond that, we're in a good spot. You know, I think the upcoming years are incredibly important for Notre Dame football, but I just feel so positive and so bullish about it because of where we are right now and what the future holds for us with some of those elements that I just spoke to. So, you know, I think my hope and expectation is that Marcus Freeman is our head coach for a long, long time here at Notre Dame.
In the transfer portal, at least in the last couple of years, seems to be working quite well for him. We'll find out, I guess, more this fall with the 2024 group, but as you assess it now, the grad transfers that they had, that they brought in last year were very productive. And it looks like there's another good group. So that seems to be, that aspect of it seems to be working for Notre Dame football.
Yeah, I think it's working really well. And I think to his credit, his team's credit, Chad Bowen, have done a really nice job of identifying needs and identifying players around the country that can fit those needs. And this is important, not just from a football perspective, but also fit into the culture and thrive at Notre Dame. And again, that can narrow the list. And they've done a wonderful job of recruiting the right type of student athletes to come in here and thrive. And, you know, I had a conversation 2 days ago, and I just spent some time with him today with Riley Leonard about how much he's enjoying it here, how much he loves it here, how much he feels like he's fits in. And it's just been embraced by the Notre Dame community. And so Marcus and his team have done a great job of again, getting young men here to play football that can play football in a Notre Dame level, but also fit in so nicely to everything that Notre Dame is and represents.
Jack mentioned in a couple conversations we've had with him that are acknowledged, I should say, the difficulty sometimes of transferring into Notre Dame's various colleges when you're not a graduate student or when you're not a freshman, where it's a lot easier, a post-freshman, where it's easier to line up. How do you see that relationship where I know it's grown, where you have to kind of work with the individual deans and colleges, because at some point there are going to be very good student athletes that would love to come to Notre Dame as juniors, but not everything matches up properly. And it seems like that has softened a bit.
Yeah. But what I would tell you, Tim, is what I've witnessed since I've been back here now 8 months or so is nothing but really, and I'll say realistic cooperation and a sense of, you know, hey, it's not easy to get into Notre Dame, right? I mean, trust me, I have 100 friends whose kids applied for admissions next year, and it's hard to get into Notre Dame, a lot harder, quite frankly, than when the three of us were applying to Notre Dame. So yeah, it's not a layup, but again, you have to be fair to the individual, and it goes back to the fact that you're going to be a student athlete. You're not going to be just an athlete. And so you have to be able to thrive athletically and academically. And Notre Dame, that's not for everybody, right? Because it really is a 1-2 punch. And so I think there's been unbelievable cooperation from the academic side. I think our key academic liaison, Tricia Balia, has been wonderful. And the added advantage is not only is she an unbelievably well-regarded law professor here at Notre Dame, but she herself was a student athlete and her daughter is a student athlete on the tennis team. So she gets it, right? She knows what it means. She knows the pressures and the time commitment. She sees it every day with her daughter. So that perspective that she has been so unbelievably valuable and helpful to us.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I want to go back to, again, I keep referring to Wake Up the Echoes, and I thought it was great. You talked about Notre Dame being the only school that you applied to. And I'm here to tell you that if I applied now, they would laugh when they saw my transcript. And and we laugh about.
Well, you were a pretty good baseball player, Tim. I saw a picture, and you bear a striking resemblance at that time to a young Tony Danza.
It's funny you should say that, because I heard that along the way. But the baseball team in the early 80s was very local. I was the third baseman from Mishawaka, Marion. Our center fielder was from South Bend Clay. Our right fielder was from South Bend Adams. Our catcher was from Elkhart Memorial. My point being that there's no way in the world that that would happen today, both with the baseball team and admissions. But you said Notre Dame was the only school you applied to. That wasn't the case for me, because I wasn't a great, great student. But my son applied to one school, and it was Notre Dame. And you must have had the confidence that he had too, because he was certain he was going to get in. Now, you know, his dad graduated from Notre Dame, and you had that as well. But, you know, just the idea of Notre Dame and what it meant to you, and obviously still means to you today, because you only had a desire to be an AD at one school. I only had a desire to be a baseball coach at one school, and that was Mishawaka Marion. Yeah. So I can relate to a lot of what you were talking about.
Yeah. And, you know, it just has always literally been a part of my life. I mean, you know, at Christmas, I would ask for a pair of Notre Dame football pants. You know, my parents would come out to a retreat, you know, at Notre Dame every year. And I couldn't wait till they got back, because they would have gone to the bookstore and gotten me, you know, the shorts and the t-shirt and the socks. And, you know, with my dad being a 55 grad, I just grew up around it. I mean, you know, I think back to the level of passion for Notre Dame in our house. Now, this is going back to the late 70s, when not all the Notre Dame games were on TV, and my father would have a transistor radio that in retrospect was, you know, it looked like as big as a refrigerator, but it was a transistor radio. And he would get so riled up watching the games, he would run, he would go jogging, like almost like Forrest Gump, and take a dime or a quarter and call us after the game from a payphone. And we would go pick him up wherever he had run to.
My gosh.
So, I mean, to be frank, we were crazy, right? I mean, and I'm not the only one, right? So when I got around to applying to schools, like, it just never crossed my mind that I would go anywhere else. Now, the benefit I had, I applied early, so God forbid I didn't get in. I still could have scrambled and applied to other places. But I never thought, well, maybe the only thought I ever had was, you know, maybe go somewhere else, a smaller school, but for maybe a half a second, like, to go play sports at a smaller school. But I remember that day like it was yesterday. I called my father from a payphone at my high school, wondering if the letter had come. And, you know, my sister answered the phone, and she's like, "Are you sure you want me to open the letter?" I'm like, "Yeah, of course, you got to open the letter." And like, I got in, and my history teacher at the time was a Notre Dame graduate, Donald Swanbeck. And that was just like one of the great moments of my life. And then, like I said, I came to Notre Dame with all these expectations, and, you know, the goal of my entire childhood is to get into Notre Dame, one of the key goals. And, you know, not only did it live up to those expectations, it surpassed them. And my best friends are, you know, so many of my best friends are my roommates from freshman year at Notre Dame. And people say, "Do you still talk to them?" And I say, "Well, we probably text each other 30 times a day, you know, mostly about nonsense, but about some serious things too." And, you know, it's just a special place. And that's why the ability to come back here and to be in this role and to play to play a part in hopefully guiding Notre Dame to a successful future. It really is the honor of a lifetime.
There's a chance 10% of our audience is now Googling payphone because they have never.
Yeah, exactly. And I think these were in the dime days. These are before the quarter days even.
O'Malley was a better student than both of us. And his dad was a professor at Notre Dame. So he was a lock all the way. I was scrambling to find my way in and eventually did. But Pete, we're going to let you go. But I want to ask you a question that we asked Jack Swarbrick or a comment that I made that, you know, right or wrong, Notre Dame athletic directors are judged based upon the fact of whether the football team wins a national title. And Jack jumped in and said, hey, that's absolutely fair. That is a responsibility of mine. The lacrosse national championship was awesome. Looking forward to another run at it this year. But how do you feel about your legacy, your responsibility, your duties as it relates to bringing a national title back to Notre Dame football, which is absolutely probably harder than it's ever been in our lifetime?
Well, I'll answer that by saying I don't think Jack should be judged by that, because you have to think of what the football program was when Jack became the athletic director and where it is now. So he is passing the baton, if you will, to me with a football program that looks far different than the football program he inherited 16 years ago. So with that as a foundation, and maybe I'll regret saying this, but I don't think I will, I should definitely be judged by that. You know, the last national championship we won was the year before I came to Notre Dame, and I'm 52 years old. That's too long, Tim. You know, we have to win a national championship, but I know that. Marcus knows that. It's not a goal we're hiding from. It's a goal we're embracing. And it's tough, right? You got to be good. You got to stay healthy. You got to be a little lucky. But you just got to keep kind of trying to ring that bell, and I feel confident that we will.
I'm going to cheat here a little bit, because I know that you were heavily involved in the college football playoff, the 12-team format. If you could speak briefly about that, your thoughts on that. I don't know if that makes it, I mean, it makes it harder in terms of more games having to be played and won in order to win a national title. Your experience in being involved in that, because I know Jack kind of handed that over to you. And immediately there was talk of a expansion of the playoffs beyond that.
Yeah, well, I would tell you, I mean, first of all, the main thing is from both a revenue distribution and an access level, we're very happy with where we are. You hear about these revenue percentages, but they're really not an apples to apples comparison. And, you know, because when you think about the 1% that's been published that we get, where that's true, it doesn't account for the fact that these major conferences had to be their historic bowl tie-ins had to be accounted for, the Rose Bowls, the Sugar Bowls, which are now part of the CFP. So if you back those types of payments out and you think about it from a true apples to apples comparison with some other bonuses that were available to us, we're in a really strong spot in terms of revenue. Access, it's fundamentally important, this change to, I think, the health of Notre Dame football. Being an independent, which we're passionate about, is tough. It's tough when you can lose, maybe you can lose one game, but you really have to go undefeated to get into that 14 playoff. Now, when it's 12 or 14, you want to win every game, but it increases our chances. So I feel really good about where we are in terms of revenue distribution, in terms of access. I love the way it sets up for us in the future. And it's funny, I was talking to Marcus about that earlier today. You know, how do you approach it now? You could argue it's so unique to major U.S. sports that you almost have to prepare for two seasons. You have to prepare for a 12-game season and then an extended time off and then a four-game dash. I think some teams are going to figure that out and do it right. Some teams are going to botch that. Eventually, all teams will catch up and there'll be best practices. But I think that hopefully we can be smart and strategic, and I know we will be, and kind of figure out that process right out of the gate so we finish our 12 games and prepare ourselves appropriately for that four-game, hopefully, mad dash. But I think the expanded playoffs are a great thing for Notre Dame. I think it goes a long way into allowing us to maintain what is such a part of our DNA, being independent in football. And I'm excited about it. We know the format for the next 2 years, 12 teams. I think beyond that, even though, you know, we'll kind of tinker with the format, my anticipation is that it's going to be 14 teams. But in either context, I think we're set up for success there for sure.
Pete, we appreciate you sharing your time with us today. We're looking forward to working with you moving forward. Thanks for joining us.
Now, Tim, I really appreciate it and look forward to seeing you soon.
Thanks, Pete.
Take care.
Until next time, this has been Irish Illustrated Insider.